It's to him that we look to for our direction, for our modeling. We're going to be speaking about modeling today. But these words that we just listed off to you, I don't want to make a comment that I can't prove, but I'm going to make it anyway, and that is, few of us are sheep herders in our backgrounds. Few of us. But we've all been to the mall. We've been to the petting zoo at the mall. And so we're not ignorant about this whole subject. In fact, we're pretty wise. But we're going to move along and not depend too completely on the petting zoo at the mall. In Numbers, Moses says to the Lord, Lord, I have a request for you, and that is that you would replace me with someone who would lead your people in and out, and that they would not be as sheep without a shepherd. And that's basic to what an elder or a shepherd does. In so doing, he has to give up personal goals, schedules. He must have compassion, an interest in people, a requirement of flexibility, because Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And that's what happens in a local church. There's a turning aside. And so a person who is seeking to be a shepherd in that congregation has to have flexibility, because things are not going to be like he thought. Nor is the council going to be necessarily the way he had planned. That is, there has to be give and take in this responsibility. So let's bow a moment and pray. Our Father and our God, as we seek to better serve you, we ask for openness of heart and mind and a fresh commitment to desiring to please you in our lives. We pray in your name. Amen. Car, C-A-R, car. Let's assume that you went to the auto show. You went down to the auto show and you kind of just stroll through the place like this. And then maybe you were a different kind of a person that you strolled through, but then you stopped and you sat down, and you looked at the material. You sat in that car, you tested it. You turned the steering wheel. You took an interest in the things that were happening at that auto show. Now, in this illustration, this is the same with individuals as they are recognized as elders, or those of you recognizing elders. Both elders and the people recognizing them can be strollers versus attenders. Romans chapter 8 calls us all to be diligent in whatever we're doing. Dunny Park, by his grace and prayer of many of you, has had and has people who are concerned about equipping. Some of you are tradesmen. You have one idea of equipping. That's not exactly what we're looking for. Equipping other Christians. We have people in this church in the past and the present who are concerned about equipping other Christians. And what is it to equip another Christian? Well, it's to provide a meaningful opportunity, resources, information, pastoral care, support. It's an intentional thing, and it's a desire to see the work of God continue on. I could start to make examples in this church of people who are equippers, starting with prayer. But when I started to do that in a list, I came up with 120 people in this church who are equippers. Now, what does that mean? That means that these are people who are concerned about helping people to honor and serve God in their jobs, in the church, in the family, in foreign missions. Ephesians 4 and 12 tells us that it's not about how good I am or all the things that I'm doing. No, it's about what I'm doing to encourage and strengthen others to serve and honor God. Not about me. What's next, Justin? Whoops, no, Justin's not back there. Oh, there it is. Okay. Now you know something about what this car means. We'll continue on. Car. C, calling. In some sense, 1 Timothy 3, verse 1, speaks of those desiring to be elders. And it relates to their vocation, their residential geographic location and use. It relates to marital choices, family, time, health, knowledge, communication skills, and we could go on. But just a sideline on marriage and family. We live in a culture in which this is breaking down big time. And so we as Christians need to model those two areas especially. And as I thought about this as it relates to the history of this church, past and present, it really struck me that we've been blessed in these two areas. We've been blessed with wives who are committed with their husbands to the ministry of elderly shepherding in this church. One of the qualifications that John read to us, if you recall, was that the family would believe, it says. There too, as you look back over the history in this place, we have a pretty good track record. Not outstanding, but a pretty decent track record of family. That children have followed the Lord, I'm going to say more so than the average in churches today. The next word we want to look at, but before we do, perhaps there are people here who, yes, I would like to be an elder, I would like to be recognized as such, but I just can't do it right now. And yes, there are responsibilities that limit or enhance availabilities, but those are temporary. Perhaps I got a road job, I'm not around. That affects my ability, doesn't it? Perhaps I have illness, that affects my ability. So these are all things that are temporary, but the issue is, do I have that long-term desire and goal to serve the Lord in this capacity? Accountability. There's a lot to be covered in that. See this yardstick? This relates to accountability. We read in Hebrews 13 that God is going to hold elders accountable before him for the spiritual growth and welfare of those in their care. Serious stuff. Serious stuff. Now, we all have differing ideas of what measurement is. Those are, notice, they're subjective things. They're not objective things. And so it's more difficult to throw stones at men who are functioning as elders because you're not able to see everything that's going on. You don't know what's going on at school, or I could just, you get my point. But they are accountable. Maybe you remember, some of you sang a song in Sunday school. He sees what you, he hears what you say. My Lord is writing all the time. Yes. Okay, remember that? Modeling, plus or minus, it's what the Lord is concerned about and what we as men and women need to be likewise concerned about. Modeling is noticed by people in this church. A couple of Sundays ago, two elders spoke to me and a couple of you wondering, you know, I haven't seen Lauren Fagan around here for a while. And there was a concern about this church body and what was going on in some of the families and individuals involved. Now, checking into Lauren is inconvenient, you know. Sunday afternoon, I was going out to dinner with the family and watching TV, whatever it is you want to say. The point is that this responsibility requires a commitment to honor God in my life. Modeling can take positive things like we just mentioned, but modeling also takes some negative things. I can be seen in an ungodly activity. This town's too small. It really is. I can be seen in an ungodly activity. Maybe I'm at the theater in the wrong line. At the theater, but in the wrong line. Maybe there's some holy Joe in this place that speaks to me and says, I know you thought that joke was funny, but it wasn't. All right? Now, I call him a holy Joe. But as elders, we walk a narrow line, and I am not entitled to tell you that funny joke. However, there's much joy and satisfaction comes to these men who commit to follow the Lord in this capacity, and there's joy in it. I mentioned that this accountability section was going to be lengthy. And among the specific elder responsibilities is to, we read in those passages, to protect a congregation such as Dunning Park from cultural and doctrinal error. And this is accomplished in this culture, or in this society, primarily through mentoring. To mentor a person is to come alongside. Life is too complex today and accelerated in pace to say, well, let's have a class together to talk about this responsibility. Even if Jesus Christ was leading it, few of us would show, because we have conflicts. We have other priorities. We got this, we got that. And so there must be flexibility. Listen to the Apostle Paul and his flexible lifestyle in order to do the things we're talking about. It says in Acts 20, we met on Sunday to worship and celebrate the Lord's Supper. Paul addressed the congregation. A young man named Eutychus was sitting in an open window. And as Paul went on and on and on, out the window he went. And he was dead. He was dead. And so then we read further that the Apostle Paul went outside and picked the kid up, prayed over him, and he was restored. But notice the mentoring that Paul was doing there. It says, we met on Sunday to worship and celebrate the Lord's Supper. That's mentoring. I've had that happen to me specifically, where someone asked me to accompany them to the Lord's Supper when I had no intention. I was on vacation. I'm entitled to follow me. Not true, folks. Not true. And so I went. Why? Because I was ashamed, that's why. Whatever it takes to motivate us to do the things we should be doing, we need to say amen to them. We could list a dozen, maybe it's more than that, of ungodly patterns of life that are prevalent around us. Ungodly pressures from pornography, immoral media, the kind of novels we're reading, kind of stuff we're watching, a godless value system that's our own making, a loss of any opportunity or even interest in reading our Bibles because of our own tight schedules. As professing Christians, we often come to a point of not saying anything about ourselves or about those around us out of fear, or as Timothy says in chapter 4, a seared conscience. There are at least three issues that come up under this accountability as it relates to elders. The first is the authority of the Bible. We live in a Christian culture that has a waviness towards the Scripture. And how is that expressed? Well, this is the case, and that's the case, and this is, you don't understand. And God is a loving God. He's a God of forgiveness. And then, of course, directed at Christians, Don't be judgmental now. Don't be judgmental. But if I take these hearing aids and turn them up full steam, full blast, the sound is deafening. It's deafening. And I don't understand what's being said to me at all. And that's kind of the atmosphere that we can fall into as Christians as it relates to these social issues that have become predominant in our culture. And you and I can think of family, acquaintances, maybe even ourselves, who are mired in these habitual ways of thinking and acting. Number two is personal holiness. Personal holiness. Personal holiness is a developing condition which greatly depends on our openness to the Holy Spirit, Christian disciplines, and above all, an association regularly with a local church. See this? Okay. Now watch it. Watch it now. Just a little blow, and it goes out. Now, if we are in a local church, it's less likely that's going to happen because we are associating with a bonfire of people, coals. And I just may have someone speaking to me, inviting me out, praying for me, all the things that are beneficial from being in a local church. The things that are important. There's an individual in the chapel here that when he goes on a road trip, he, of all things, looks up churches like Dunning Park to see if they're in the community he's going. Or he goes to the Yellow Pages and looks up a church to attend on Sunday versus saying, well, I don't have to be out there at 10 o'clock. I can sleep in. I'll watch TV this morning. That's the change that has to go on in our lives if we're going to find ourselves developing and growing as Christians. The third thing, under this whole thing of accountability, is God is holy. God is holy. It's a concept that we can't put our arms around, but also it's a concept that we have become a little bit loose about and that we don't think about it. God is holy. When we speak of the holiness of God, it means, among other things, that he does not tolerate sin. He does not tolerate sin in my life. Now, of course, I've got 1 John 1 and 9. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you, right? But you know, I've gone through that verse a lot. Because of the lack of repentance in relationship to it, I've looked upon the things that happen as, well, let's call them mistakes. Mistakes. But the terrible part of our mistakes and our lightness of attitude towards sin is this. 1 John 1:9 does not erase the effect of our bad modeling and choice that other people observed. I'm not talking about a holy Joe speaking to me now about a joke. It really wasn't that bad. But no, we are talking about serious deviations from the walk of God. And yet we are saying, not that bad, not that terrible. The last thing in this car is R. Car, R. And R is response. R is response. Listen to this passage. This is Hebrews again. It says this. Be responsive to your pastoral leaders. Be responsive to your pastoral leaders. Listen to their counsel. They are alert to the conditions of your lives and work under the strict supervision of God. Contribute to the joy of their leadership, not its drudgery. Why would you want to make things harder for them? And then, speaking on behalf of men in this church who seek this office, this responsibility, it says this. Pray for us. We have no doubts about what we're doing or why, but it's hard going, and we need your prayers. And all we care is that we would, those men who are seeking that office, that they would honor God. And that's their fear, that their lives would honor him. Now, with this thing of response, maybe you caught some of the words in that passage as relates to the pastoral leaders. Going back to earlier in our talk, we said recognizing none, one, or ten. Let's assume that, you know, I didn't recognize any of those individuals because I just didn't. And this passage is warning us to honor and give respect to those who have been established in the church as the leaders or elders in this church. Even though I'm not that taken with them. After all, I saw him, I think it was about 8 or 9 years ago, and I overheard him yelling at his wife at the picnic because he wanted to go home and she wasn't coming. Don't hang on to those things. Accept and respect those individuals who have been established in this church. Now, yes, you and I participate in recognizing these individuals, but remember too that ultimately it is the Holy Spirit. It is ultimately the Holy Spirit that identifies in your heart, assuming that's what you're looking for, assuming that there's more to your recognition process than how many babies this guy kisses, okay? I can honestly tell you I came to this church for 3 years and did not participate in this process because I thought it was a baby kissing contest. Okay? I thought there was insincerity about it. But I can attest to you, there's not. That this church is guided by men who honestly seek to honor the Lord in that capacity. Let's sing together.